Amen. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Can you all hear me okay? Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And we're going to read verses 6 through 9 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. I'll begin in verse 6. You'll read along with me in verse 7. I'll read verse 8, and then we'll all finish by reading verse 9 together. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." You may be seated. The message this morning is titled, "How to Teach Your Children to Love God." How to teach your children to love God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'd open your Bibles back to that passage of Scripture and look at verse number 1. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it." Let me just pause and say, you can't do what you don't know. And the very first step to teaching children to love God is to teach them about God.
Amen.
Verse 2, "that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." In the next couple of verses, which we read at the beginning of the message, is the key for you and for your children to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Listen, parents, you can't give a passion for the Lord your God and develop a passion for the Lord God in your children's life if there's not a passion in your own life and heart for the Lord God. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." And let me just say, one passage of Scripture says the sin of Sodom was fullness of bread. You know where you start to turn away from God is when you are full of earthly goods and possessions, and you don't feel the need to need God so much anymore.
Come on now.
But I'll tell you one thing, when you're hungry, your prayer life increases.
Yep.
And God says, beware. He says, you need me for food right now. I'm the one that's giving you manna. I am your grocery store right now. But when you get into the land that flows with milk and honey, and you no longer go out in the morning to get the manna that I provide for you, and your bellies get full and you get comfortable, beware, that is one of the most dangerous points in your life, because that's the point when you think, I don't need to call on God as much as I used to, because I don't need as much as I need, as much as I used to. Let me just help you understand something. You never cease in your need for God.
Amen.
And your need for God is always as great today when you're full as it is tomorrow when you're empty. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And let me just say one thing, reason why Paul was content, whether he was abased or whether he was exalted, was because he was with God and needed God, even though he was exalted in the good times. And even though his bank account was empty, he needed God the same on both days. And you'll be a successful Christian in your walk with God if you'll need God all the time.
That's right.
No matter how much deer meat is in the freezer, or hamburger, or fish,
yep,
or rabbit, or whatever you know,
yep,
cheese.
Amen.
Or whether you go and open the refrigerator and there's a bottle of ketchup. You know, one thing growing up that I appreciate is the hard times that my parents and our family went through. And I'll tell you why I appreciated those times, because it was during those times I, as a child, got to see my parents' faith. And I, as a child, got to see God answer my parents' prayers and food be provided. I remember people dropping stuff off on our door, groceries, and we'd open the door, there'd be groceries, and we didn't know who brought it there. Well, we did. I remember telling my wife, you know, I want sometimes us maybe in the wintertime, let's just turn the heater off so that it's cold so our children will appreciate things and be grateful of what we have. And my wife's like, I think there's better ways to teach them to be grateful. But I remember sometimes in the apartment, we didn't have heat. And I remember laying in my bed with a couple blankets on and seeing my breath. It was pretty cool, but it was very cold. But I really appreciated heat. Made me so much appreciate my parents and what they did for me. And let me just say, it helped me understand the value of things were very low compared to the relationships in your life. I remember I thought we'd save some electricity when we went on one of our first trips to my in-laws after we were married. And you know how those little phone chargers and TVs that eat away at your electricity when you're not there. So I was going to save electricity, and I turned the breaker box off in the house, just shut all the electric down. I don't want them taking any of my money without me being there to use it. Forgot about the fridge. That's another story for another time. But I really wanted my kids and I want my children to be thankful and realize how blessed they are. Let me say, if you'll keep God before your children, I believe that will happen.
Amen.
Whether there's heat or not.
That's right.
Because he is the key. And continuing on here, he's saying, beware, verse 12, beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Look, how do you teach your children to love the Lord with all their heart? Well, how do you teach your children to love your favorite sports team?
Come on out.
You buy their jerseys. Your coffee cup is your team colors. You hang their pictures and their pendants on your walls. You have their team flag on your car. You talk about them all the time with passion and excitement. You watch all of their games and go to as many as you possibly can. Their name is on your lips, and you talk about the stats and what happened in this play, and did you see that? You talk about them with your neighbors, your friends, and your family. You know, that's exactly what God told his people to do about him in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Do you know why I grew up liking Penn State football? Although I didn't live in Penn State except for maybe 4 years of my life at that point. My dad liked Penn State football. When people would ask me, kids would ask me, hey, who do you like for football? Oh, Penn State. Did I know any other teams? Not really. And when other kids ask your child, hey, what God do you like? Well, God Almighty. Would they know any other gods? He says, this is how you teach them to love me with all their heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Verse 6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Adults, if we want to teach the young kids in this church to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, we first must love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength.
Amen. That's right.
And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. On purpose. This is something you on purpose do. It's something you're focused on. It's something you're passionate about. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. How often does that sound? All the time. You should be looking for opportunities to teach your children spiritual truths. And I love this, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. He literally had the scripture, he had them wrap scripture around their hand. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. When you walked into a Hebrew's property, as soon as you walked through the gate, there was scripture on the gate. Let me say, if someone walks up to your house and there's scripture on the door, there's a good sign that there might be someone who believes in God behind it. And when we put scripture, and you know what? We're going to put more scripture up on the walls in the church. Maybe we need to have scripture on the gates as you come in the church, on the front door. Scripture all over the place. And then the kids grow up reading that scripture. And then one day they're going to sit down and say, what's that mean? When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments, which our Lord God hath commanded you? What do these things mean, Daddy? You got to keep God before your children if you want your children to love God. Deuteronomy means the number two. Do. Like in Spanish, uno, dos. Do is the number two. Deuteronomy means the law given twice. It's the law repeated again. Why? Because the children of Israel are about to go into Canaan land. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they need to hear the law again before they go into the land of Canaan so they don't get themselves in trouble for forgetting the law. And let me tell you where Christians have got themselves in trouble nowadays in America today is we forgot the law of God. We've forgotten His word.
Amen.
We're full. We don't need to come to church anymore. When we're full, may I encourage you to get hungry again for the things of God?
Amen. Come on
out. Look, I don't feel good when I don't come to church. If you feel good not coming to church, it's because you're full of what the world has to offer, and you're full physically. You feel good about everything else in your life, but you're truly empty.
Yes, right.
And you're miserable.
Yep.
You won't admit that to yourself, but when the ceiling comes crashing down and you have to pick up all the pieces, it's because you got full. I don't ever want to get so full that I don't need God anymore. I'll tell you what, I need Him more today than I need Him yesterday.
Amen.
I need Him more this year than I needed Him last year. It's not just because I'm turning 40. I'm going to talk that up. I'm sorry. God warned them to keep themselves from worshiping the gods, the idols, in the land they were going to live in. He said, "You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you." You know, in those days there was Molech, there was Dagon, the queen of heaven, Baal, and a host of others. Each of these false gods promised success in a different area of your life. Some of them were worshipped for good health. Some of them were worshipped for financial blessings. Some promised if you would sacrifice your baby on the altar, a longer life. Not much has changed, really. There are idols and false gods around us in America today. The same ones as back then, with different names. You have the idol of abortion, where you sacrifice your baby for a longer, better life and career. There's the idol of sports. And sports might be something you can play and have fun in moderation, but when sports becomes the main issue, and let me say, as a Christian, when you're willing to miss a church service because of sports, it is now transformed into an idol. Well, it's a big game. I mean, you just don't know the rivalry and the matchup. I mean, this is like the game to end all games. Well, He is the God to end all gods.
Amen. Yeah. Come on now.
When you'll miss church because your child has a practice or a game in sports, that sports has now become an idol in your life. There's the idol of entertainment. There's a lot of kids that they won't come to church Sunday morning. One, because they stayed up all night playing video games and they're too tired. Or two, because they want to stay home that morning so they can continue playing video games. Or their favorite show is on, the god and idol of entertainment. There's the idol of good health. Now, if you read the book of Leviticus, you'll easily come to the conclusion that God is concerned about good health.
Yes.
But when having good health trumps you following God, your good health has now become an idol.
That's right.
There's the idol of financial stability and a good job. careers and good jobs and financial security have become a big idol in America today, because we will miss assembling together with the people of God so we can keep our job or save our job or make more money or... You say, Pastor, you're talking about things you know nothing about because you don't have to support a family, and you know you've never given up a job because you had to work on Sunday. Yes, I have.
One out.
And I'll tell you what, I've taken a job where the boss later on came to me and said, I need to start working Sundays, and I said, if that's the case, then I need to find another job. Praise God, I was a hard enough worker. He changed his mind. If you're really valuable to that company and you're really a good worker and a good testimony, you tell them you need Sundays off and they don't give it to you off, go to another company.
Amen.
I've got a pension and a retirement plan. And it's not here on this earth. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't provide for your family. I'm not saying don't have savings and set things aside for retirement here on this earth. I am saying if that becomes a number one in your life over God, it has become an idol. There's a lot of Christians who should be in the pews of the churches of America this morning that are at work instead. Let me say, you don't think God owns the cattle on a thousand hills still?
Amen.
See, that's part of the problem. We provide for ourselves so much, we don't need God. The sermon's probably not going to win friends and influence people this morning, but it's the truth.
Amen.
Let me say, dedicating your child to the Lord means you're going to have them in church. Don't dedicate your child to the Lord and then keep them out of church.
Yeah.
It's no point.
Yeah, right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
We're supposed to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture means education, instruction, formation of manners. You're supposed to nurture your children and raise them up in the Bible, in the Word of God, loving God. Admonition is authoritative counsel or warning. And you admonish your children. If you don't follow God, God says these are the consequences. Now let me just say, you can put scripture all over your house and even love God with all your heart, and you might still have a child that grows up and says, I don't want that.
Yes. That's right.
That's not under your control. But make sure you're doing what is under your control.
Amen.
And dedicating your child is saying, I will do my part to teach them to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Now, whether they accept it is on them.
Amen.
But I'll do my part. You know what God is saying here in Deuteronomy chapter 6? He's saying, I want you to think about me. And I want you to talk about me. Brother Michael, when you were dating and engaged to your wife to be, you ever find yourself talking about her at work?
Yep.
Did you ever talk about her with your friends?
Yep.
Family? Because you love her.
Absolutely.
God wants you to talk about him and think about him because you love him.
Amen.
If you love me, keep my commandments. It's a little cold in here today. A little chilly. Bump the heat up 1 degree there, Brother Bob. Push up on that, please. We're almost done. We talk about the things and the people we love. I still know one of the players from Penn State football when I was a kid. He was a good running back guy. Curtis Enos. Anybody remember him? Curtis Enos. I remember his name. Why? Because we watched Penn State football, me and Dad. You know why I enjoyed Penn State football? Because my dad did. And I wanted to be like my dad. You know why my boys want to go hunting? Because I like it and I go hunting. So I can eat, yeah. Used to be in the day, right? I think if you were to ask my children, they would say they like to be at church. You can test it. I don't know. But I think if you would ask them, my kids would say they enjoy being at church. I think if you would ask them, they would say we enjoy reading our Bibles. We enjoy prayer. We love God. They've chosen to do that. But I only believe one of the reasons they've chosen to do that is because they know their daddy loves to be in church. And their daddy enjoys reading the Bible, and their daddy likes to pray, and their daddy loves God. So if you want your child to love God, it starts with you. How's your passion for the Lord? Are you talking about the Lord with your children? You say, yeah, but they're teenagers, and it's hard to comprehend the mind of a teenager. Well, that's a given, yes, but teens still like to talk about God. Amen? And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they should be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. I love the verse. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. If we could number how much many thoughts God has of us, the Bible says they would be in more in number than the sand on the seashore. That's how much God thinks of you and thinks about you. We need to do the same.
Amen.
We're going to bow for prayer. And if you want to go get Emily during this time. And if I could have a pianist come. Let's push the reset button, parents, in our own hearts with our love for God. And let's commit ourselves to serving the Lord, having a passion for the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us and thinking about us. Help us to love you, Lord, with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, body, and strength. Lord, help us to be more passionate about you than we are about anything else in life, whether it's sports, whether it's entertainment, whether it's hunting, fishing, racing, whatever it may be, God. May our number one passion be you, and may our children know it. Help our kids, God, to love you with all their heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Keep them pure. Give them wisdom that they might be blessed in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.